Just for Gretchen, as Bon Jovi once said, I've seen a million faces and I've rocked them all. And this is the Fat Man Chronicles. Welcome to episode 4 of the Fat Man Chronicles. Doing okay?
Yeah, I'm good. All sorry.
Right. Little adjustment going on here on the fly.
Sorry. Yay, well, episode 4.
Yay, episode 4. All right. My name is Pete, and I am the author of a blog called The Fat Man Chronicles. And sitting across from me, getting ready to tell you what's in our glass, is my beautiful wife, Gretchen. How you doing?
Good. Good,
baby. The headphones are all right now?
Headphones are good.
Baby's down?
Well, she's pretending, but she's
so good though.
She's down for now, so she should be good for the night.
She's been like one of the best babies ever in terms of going to bed. Yeah. She likes to go to bed.
She's like her mother. I love to sleep, so does she.
My other, Lily's yeah. loves to sleep too.
Exactly.
Teaser that it's a hobby.
Yes.
Well, anyway, we are enjoying some wine as usual.
Yeah.
Why don't you tell us what's in our glass tonight?
This one's not. And I'm going to make my—
But you took French.
4 years of French. And
this is going to bode well for the Catholic school system if you don't get this right.
I'm going to go with it's a 2015 Bourgogne.
Bourgogne?
Bourgogne?
Sure.
No, I don't think it's Bourgogne. Really?
Bourgogne?
No. Bourgogne.
It's Burgundy.
It's a Burgundy. Yeah, it's a Burgundy.
And what's it called?
Oh, that wasn't the name? Oh my God, it's the second one there? Oh.
No, that just tells you that it's a Burgundy.
Crap. All right, it's Le Grand Cas. That's probably pretty close.
Probably. I have no idea since I don't speak French at all.
Yeah, that's probably pretty close actually.
2015 Burgundy, which— I mean, Burgundy 2015 was a great year. So this wine is really kind of fleshy and ready to rock.
Yeah, it's very good.
Fleshy being a technical term in wine. That probably sounds terrible to anybody who's not a wine drinker.
Like, so many images come to mind that doesn't involve.
Did you enjoy it with the zucchini lasagna for the second week in a row? We had zucchini lasagna.
It was very good with the zucchini lasagna. It was, and the zucchini lasagna turned out better this time than I think the first time.
It was great.
But it was
great last time too. Yes. Just different.
It makes up for the epic fail that we had with the pasta.
Oh, that was terrible. If you want to see the clump that we called pasta, you can check out our Instagram feed or Facebook. It was pretty bad.
Never believe when a pasta recipe, you know, I only had a few ingredients and they say it's super easy. But then at the very end, it says, if you want to watch a YouTube video on how to make it, it's like, huh. You have to have a YouTube video that probably makes it not so easy, so.
And we aren't eating grains, so this was pasta with no grains in it.
Right, it was made with cream cheese, eggs, psyllium husks. Did I say that right?
I think so, psyllium husk.
Psyllium husk, and that was it.
It was awful.
Yeah, it was not good at all.
No offense to the person who did the recipe and the Real Meal Revolution, but—
Obviously, I did something wrong. So I will not give up on it. I'm going to watch the video and see what I did wrong.
Can you experiment on like the cat? Because
no.
That was not good.
I know. I think it got worse because you reheated, like you heated it up. So after I cooked it, then like the sauce wasn't hot enough for you. And so then you put it in the microwave. I think that's what really—
The sauce was cold.
I know, but I think that's what did it in for the pasta.
Oh, I don't know. It was pretty bad either way. But we've had other recipes from the Real Meal Revolution that have been
very good.
Outstanding. So we can't blame it all on them or you.
Well, no, it's probably
or
it
my
was
pickiness.
Fault. No, I did something wrong. So I will correct and learn.
Well, at least we got the zucchini lasagna down.
Yes, that is. And I still have all my fingers from the mandolin.
Well, that's great.
Yes. Used it twice, didn't cut myself once. Knock on wood.
It's fantastic. And I've got, the one thing I can do is I can make some gravies.
Yes.
Or sauce, as sauce. Most people say. But
make some sauce.
It's gravy over by here.
Yeah.
The wine tonight, though, was really fun, I thought. Like, because you wouldn't think about drinking Burgundy, which is, it's red Burgundy. It's right. Pinot Noir. You wouldn't think about that. And since you just took a sip, why don't you tell us what you're tasting?
Like, seriously? What's the flavors? That doesn't work for me. No. Oh. You know, it tastes good.
You can get cherry out of this one, though.
Sure.
You can't?
I'm not good with that.
You just know it tastes. Thumbs up, thumbs down.
Exactly.
I like it.
Thumbs up. I'm going to keep on drinking it.
Fantastic.
Yep.
All right. Well, let's maybe head into the show. What we're going to do today is just like last week, we're going to have the FMC Rewind, and then we're going to head into a topic of the day that comes from today's Chicago Tribune, actually. So what was planned got changed because I was really struck by this article and can't wait to get into it. And we haven't discussed it yet, so it should be pretty interesting.
Let's hope so. Otherwise, this could be a real bad one.
Oh, yeah. The show is supposed to be interesting. That's a good point. Well, so far we've gotten dozens. And I mean, I want to welcome back the dozens of people who have listened. The five people who have given us reviews.
I know.
Only one 4-star. The other ones were 5-star.
Yeah, we'll have to.
I got to earn that star.
Yeah, we'll have to figure out what we need to do to get that from that one person.
I'm pretty sure it was me. I have no doubt that I've done something to offend her.
Probably.
And but that's okay.
Yes.
And fortunately or unfortunately, we know who wrote all 5 reviews at this point.
Well, yeah.
I mean,
well, like we said, we knew our family was going to be our first listener. So,
but it's not. It's some friends.
We've
family.
We've branched out. So,
and I know the fifth one. You don't know him, but I mean, I'm just getting to know him. But it's good stuff. But we definitely appreciate everybody sending a review on Apple Podcasts. I was corrected on that. I kept saying iTunes. Yeah. It's Apple Podcasts now because it has its own app.
You know, I noticed that. Whenever time I opened up iTunes, it like took me to this other thing. I was like, oh, okay.
But leaving a review is so hard.
Yeah.
It's so, I don't know why Apple makes it so difficult. You have
and
to
like reading, trying to find them, like people like after they like left them, trying to find them.
Well, it takes like 24 hours, I think, for them to get in. And like sometimes it doesn't like the nickname that they're using. And I don't know why.
That's weird.
It would matter.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. Either way, though, just to leave the review is difficult because you have to search the podcast. So like if you've already downloaded the podcast and you're already a subscriber and you go to just into that podcast and go to play episodes, there's no place for you to leave a review.
Yeah, it's weird.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Apple needs to figure out why that can't just be a tab.
Yeah, agreed. 100%.
Because to do it, you have to search, find the podcast, click on that podcast, like you haven't subscribed or anything, and then there's a tab to do reviews. So right now we have 5 reviews. So it actually gave us an aggregate review of 5 stars because that 4-star didn't count in Apple's books. I guess they threw out the highest and lowest and didn't take the 5-average.
5-star podcast here, people,
So the median would also be math lessons also today for free on the Fat Man Chronicles.
Oh boy.
All right. Enough about Apple Podcast reviews. But we do sincerely thank everybody.
Very much.
All dozens of you. And hopefully you spread the word, tell a friend. Somebody's battling weight and I don't know. Maybe they'll just find us halfway entertaining at some point or not.
You never know.
Maybe informative. Maybe. It's all right. All right. How's the week? How was your week?
My week was good. Kind of a slow week for work, which was, you know, good and bad and stuff. But next week should probably pick up a little bit going into month end again. I feel like we just actually, wait, What month is this?
We're in September still.
Okay. I thought I was going into quarter end again. I was going to have a heart attack. I'm like, didn't I just finish this? So yeah, about ready for month end work. Let's see, TV shows, any reality updates?
Your views from the couch.
My views from the couch. Let's see. I don't have any memorable reality shows updates this week. That's not probably good for the reality shows.
I'll make a confession here.
Okay.
The Big Brother episode, I flipped out.
Yeah.
I can't believe I got that emotional I was so upset with them.
You were so upset.
Because I don't like sore losers.
But your reaction was almost
a sore loser. I know. That's the irony.
Yes.
But at least I can man up to it.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, it was, you know, for those that, well, I don't know. Should we?
Spoiler alert.
If you don't know, you know, Paul lost Big Brother for the second time in a row. And he lost to a guy, Josh, who, you know, up during the show, one would say he was almost a bully at times. You know, he was taunting people.
There was no doubt.
You know, I don't like throwing the word bully around. I think sometimes it's thrown around a little too much. But he was in people's faces, banging pots and pans and just being absolutely obnoxious for no reason other than like he just didn't like the person. So I'm going to taunt you and make your life a living hell. That was his goal.
But basically, I think Big Brother over the years has had to become, you do everything you can to win the game and you can go right up to the very edge of the rules in order to do it. And that's what that dude did. And it turns out, I think he's probably a pretty good guy.
I agree.
And I think he's a pretty good family guy.
Yeah.
And show I love, Family Guy.
I think it was just like, you know, and he was a super fan. So like he was very much emotionally, very emotional, vested into
the
show.
Oh, that dude cried all the time.
So that was, I didn't want Paul to win, but I really didn't want Josh to win either. So it really was a no-win situation for me.
Yeah, for me, I guess the lesson I took away is becoming that emotionally invested in a reality show makes me an idiot. That's the bottom line.
Yeah. Yeah,
all right.
You were pretty. Yeah.
You know, we're moving on from that and finding other ways that I'm an idiot. Speaking of me being an idiot.
No, not you being, just like people being an idiot. So there's a new housewife show out there called Real Housewives of Dallas. And there's this woman on there who is kind of like honestly, she looks like a Stepford wife. I mean, she's blonde hair, beautiful. Yeah, she's beautiful. I would say she's beautiful. But she wants to go out and start her own business. Good for you. Do it, right? You know what her business she wants to start? Pink dog food.
What do you mean? Like color?
Like color.
Or that the
not
like the singer.
The blue diamond, not pink. No, not pink.
Not the singer.
No. She wants to literally make dog food pink. She thinks that that's a market that's out there and people want this. I mean, now that's just stupid. I don't like calling people stupid, but come on.
Well, you're calling her idea stupid.
I'm calling her idea stupid, yes, because that's just, and her husband, it's so
I'll
funny.
I'll call her stupid. That's really dumb.
Her husband's just like, and like her husband, you know, he's very successful. I don't remember what her husband does, but he's very successful, makes lots of money. She has not for wants or anything. And like, he's just looking at her like, Siri, like, no. And like, she like goes in there to like do this, like a pitch, right? To business, to show, like, to get the money from him to start this pink dog food. And she shows up with a poster board with like the word pink on it. And he's like, where's your business plan? Where's your projections? Where's your, like, all this stuff? And she's just looking at her. He's telling her no, no, no. And she's hearing, oh, he's totally into this. He's going to let me do this. It's just, like, you just want to shake your, like, seriously?
Is that the name that she came up with too? Just pink dog food?
I don't know the name. I don't think she came up with a name yet. I don't remember it. If she did, I don't remember. All I know is that she wants to make pink dog food.
Oh,
so that's like the ridiculousness of the housewives of the week. So that's my view from the couch this week is pink dog food coming to a store near you.
I'm not going to let you get away with that being it though.
No?
No. You had a really good week on the scale.
So
I think that's kind of important given what we're trying to do.
Because
you were on a plateau. You've been on a plateau.
I have for probably about 2-3 weeks. I've kind of stayed around the same weight. And I kind of broke through this week and I lost 2 pounds, which, I mean, for some people, 2 pounds is not...
That's awesome.
But in a week for me, when I haven't been doing any, you know, been kind of at that one number for, it's been a long time. Maybe not 3 weeks. Maybe it's been 2 weeks that I've been...
I think it's been close to three that you've bounced around between, you know, a couple of numbers.
Right. And so now it's been consistently down the 2 pounds. So that was a big week for me.
That is a good week. And I've plateaued a little bit. I did lose about 4/10. So I hit 20 pounds exactly, which is great in terms of milestone.
Yeah. I'm at, what did we decide? I'm at 13.
13 pounds,
13
I think.
13 pounds. Yep.
It's not bad for 9 weeks of work here.
Yeah.
And again, you're not feeling other effects quite yet.
No.
But no negative effects either.
No negative at all. No, I just, you know, I think I can maybe feel a little bit in my clothes. Like I was, like the shirt I'm wearing tonight before was a little tighter. It's always been a looser shirt because that's what it's made. I like the looser shirts. But like today when I was putting it on, I'm like, oh, it looks a little bigger than normal. So maybe I'm starting to see a little bit. Unfortunately, that means my chest area is shrinking, which is not always ideal for a woman.
Is that, that's typically though, women kind of lose
I
around
lose in my
first,
face.
Right?
First place I lose is in my face and then it's usually in the chest area. Never where you want it. Thighs, stomach. Because I don't have a big chest to begin with. So it's not like I can afford to lose anything there.
All right. Since the show is PG,
I thought that was pretty PG.
No, I'm going to not comment.
Oh, yeah. No, you shouldn't comment.
I think everything's just fine.
Oh, wait, you better say that.
It's beyond fine. But we're just going to let it go.
Yeah. So how about you? How about your week and your training?
My training was pretty good most of the week. I got runs in. I didn't nail it, but I still got my runs in.
Today was a hard day for you.
Today was rough. Today was really rough. We're dealing with a heat wave in Chicago, and I think a lot of the eastern part of the United States at least. I went out to do a 10 miler, like I had said last week. And I knew from the start, it was in my head, right? That it was hot, humid, and humidity actually hurts me more than heat. Like if it was only 70 degrees or 72 or something, but the 89, 90% humidity just crushes me. I feel like I'm breathing soup.
Yeah.
And I don't do well. And I've always said that humidity is my kryptonite. And I just didn't feel up to it. And I stopped the run short and I was really disappointed in myself.
Well, you stopped the run short, but you stopped it at 6 miles.
You still did
6 miles.
I did 6 miles.
So it's not like after 1 mile you gave up.
And there was a couple of miles of walk in, at least two.
Exactly.
So, I mean, I was out there for quite a long time, but I was still disappointed because it's not what I set out to do. It's not what I had committed to do. I had just written a post about having some mental block and then needing to do a plan and committing to do it by Friday. I didn't do that though. So when I failed there and I do need to get a plan up and tomorrow is an off day regardless. So I'll get a plan up and post it. The hard part for me was I knew I could do it. I was in an excuse mode. I could have powered through at least a couple of more miles. I think the other part of it is I'm trying to become a fasted runner, and that's hard.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it messed with my head a little bit today because I do burn more calories when it's humid and a little warmer like this. So I'm not sure that I just was in the right frame of mind and I made excuses. And I posted my runs and here's why I love the sub 30 club and what this group does for me. There's part of that group that basically says, and did say in this case, right? Rob comes to mind basically, hey, any run is better than no run. And you did 6 miles. Like,
right.
Give yourself a break, right?
Exactly.
And he's right. He's absolutely right. And then there's Megan, who basically says, yeah, I think you're making excuses. And, you know, I would have finished it out. I would have at least walked the 4 miles and gotten it in. And she hashtagged it tough love. And I thought about that a lot as I made some eggs and put my favorite hot sauce on it and had a cup of coffee. And eventually I got back up and I went back outside and I did 3 more miles at 11 o'clock when it was, now it's hot.
Right.
Now it's just beating down sun hot. But I went ahead and got the 3 miles in. The one thing I will caution anybody that does listen, all dozens of you, don't have hot sauce and coffee and then go out into the screaming heat and try to run. That's not for everybody.
Not a good idea.
You know, some of us fat guys can get away with this because we've trained our stomachs over the years to be pretty hardcore, pretty iron stomach here.
I'm pretty sure I would have been throwing up on the side.
I had a little reflux that I had to choke down.
God.
Look, when you start talking about running with runners, the things that we have to talk about, the bodily functions, and I mean, it's just terrible. Like your stomach can have some distress. You can have some issues, right? So it gets pretty bad. You know, you start talking about body glide and, you know, all this stuff. So it was a rough time today. Overall, the week was pretty good, though. I could definitely get a little bit better on my mental game. Right now, I think my mental game is kind of suffering. Mm-hmm. And part of that is I've actually trained more for this race than I have maybe any other.
Yeah, it seems that way.
I'm getting more miles in, and I know I'm improving, but I'm not feeling it yet. And right now, I need to kind of take a step back, really examine on my day off tomorrow what I need to do and get it written down and follow it and not worry so much about all those little pieces. Basically, I'm an idiot with no mental fortitude right now.
That's the theme of today's show. Pete's an idiot. There we go.
You are so glad you married me right now.
Oh, yes. Every day.
Mostly because of the wine, but when I'm an idiot, though, it either makes you look better or worse. I'm not sure which.
Oh, I think people could be like, wow, what was she thinking?
Well, people think I outkick my coverage all the time. So,
well, yeah, true. You know,
we got that. All right, I think that's enough about my woes, and we'll start getting into the topic of the day, which is an article that was in today's Chicago Tribune. So this is Sunday the 24th when we're recording, September 24th. I looked it up online so we could post the article in the show notes. And looks like the online version of the article actually ran a couple of weeks ago on September 11th. So it's been out there. And I'll post that in the show notes, though, for anybody that wants to go read it themselves, because we actually have the physical.
Yeah. We get a paper.
On Sunday.
Just Sundays.
I don't know what it is about that. The nostalgia. I love.
Well, I get it for the coupons.
Yeah, and I do like reading the paper on Sunday. There's something cathartic about it.
I
like
agree.
The feel of the newsprint.
Yeah.
The stained fingers that you end up with. All right, but the article was actually a pretty serious one.
It was.
And it's written by James Fell. So I thought it was interesting once we get into this that it was written by a man.
Right.
That was pretty interesting.
Yeah, when I read it, I honestly didn't look to see who wrote it. So the fact that you're telling me that it was a male, I was like, oh, because I totally thought it was written by a female.
I did too. I looked at the end just because I figured we had to give credit.
Well,
Chicago Tribune, the date, the author.
Yeah,
I don't want to.
No. Yeah, we make sure. Yeah.
I don't want any trouble with the Tribune people.
I know. They could come after us.
And we know a writer at the Tribune pretty well. So,
we do.
And Joseph Hernandez is the writer that we know, and he's outstanding.
He'd probably call us out too, be like, dude.
He probably would.
Yeah, he'd turn us in.
Sure. I don't know who you turn us into. The Tribune Police?
Yeah,
I have no
idea. Yeah,
the
Tribune Police. They're going to come after us.
But anyway, the title of the article is Shamed for Being Fat, ellipsis, dot, 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 or Fit. And this is, I was really shocked to read this article. The gist of it, I'm going to summarize real quick.
And
you jump in at any time. It's like women can't win. is the gist of the article.
Yes.
So it tells a story of three different women who were overweight, and they were shamed for being fat, hence the title. And they were shamed by a variety of people. Let's just leave it at that, and we'll get more into that in a few minutes. And then they lose the weight. And then those same people shame them for being fit.
Yep.
I don't get it. I mean, that's the gist of the article, right?
Yeah.
I started thinking, the first thing that I did is start to think about, okay, who was saying this to them? And it was like friends.
It was friends, family.
A grandfather when he was a child.
Yes. It made me sick. It made me sad. It made me very sad to read that, for those women to have those people surrounding them like that. That's just, it's unfortunate.
It's terrible. And that's one of the things I'd like, if we do anything with the dozens of listeners we have,
mm-hmm.
knock it off.
Yeah.
Like seriously, just, there are times where you just need to bite your tongue, and shaming people is, when they're bigger, is one of them.
Yeah, because it's like those so-called friends, and I don't call them friends because if you're a true friend, you wouldn't do that. There's no need to comment on what a person's eating or not eating for that matter when they were losing weight.
I'm so glad you said that because one of the things that I had put into our outline, because we're professional.
Yes.
Was what do we do? And one of them was drop friends, ? Because
yes, I wouldn't.
I was horrified. Family, I kind of get in a way because family is sometimes overly truthful or blunt with each other. Not all families.
Right.
But a lot of families can be.
Yes.
And I kind of understand that. Men are, well, to go back on the theme of today's show, men can be idiots, right? And we can say some horribly derogatory things to women, whether they're fat, they're fit, they're beautiful, they're ugly. It doesn't matter. We say all kinds of dumb things. I kind of understand that as a species, we have an issue overall, and we can't tackle that one right now.
Right.
But friends are people that choose to be around you, and you choose to be around them. So for me, by definition, friends should not ever shame somebody. You can have a discussion.
Right. That's different. If someone welcomes you saying, hey, what do you think of this? Then yes, by all means, then, you know, you want a friend should be open and honest with them. But to just, if someone's having a cheeseburger and you're looking at them and saying, oh, do you really think you should be eating that? Do you know how many calories that is? That's not a friend.
Which is an example in the article.
Yes. I mean, I feel, sometimes, you know, as a bigger woman, you know, you kind of do surround yourself with just anyone because you're afraid that you're not, because your self-worth, like sometimes you don't feel like you're good enough to have other friends. Like if I drop these friends, I'm not going to have any friends. Those are the thoughts that go through your mind at times. Like, and it's just, so I don't fault those women for not dropping those friends, right? Because they were in a spot in their own lives where they said themselves, they're like, I don't need them shaming me. I shame myself. You know, I don't need that. But it's like, you know, you're in such a, when you're trying to lose weight and you don't feel the support of everyone around you, it just doesn't make it any better.
Have you ever had an experience where a friend was derogatory towards your weight?
I was really, after I read that article, I was like, okay, let me think back because many years of it. And I've had some good friends. I've had some not so good friends and through come in and out of my life. And I don't think I've ever had anyone fat shame me.
Friends or not friends,
friends or anybody?
Not,
nobody. I just, maybe I block it out. Maybe I just can't, you know, I don't always have the best memory, but I don't think so. I just, honestly, I don't think so. I can't think of a, certainly not any of my friends. None of my friends have done that to me. They've always been very supportive. And, you know, if I want to have a cheeseburger, they're like, have the cheeseburger. You know what you're doing. You're an adult. Make your own choices.
When you think about this, Do you think there's probably, I mean, I'm going to just say it versus asking you the question. There's a big difference here for men and women. Weight is a different subject between men and women. And I'm not saying that I have been fat shamed.
Right.
I wrote an entire article about an entire blog post that is the biggest one I've ever written about a young couple fat shaming me. And I've been ridiculed and been called a fat ass many times. It impacts me for sure.
Yeah.
I don't think it impacts me in the same way it does women because of the fact that society holds looks for women in such a higher regard than it does for men.
Yeah.
I always use Hollywood as an example on this.
Mm-hmm.
Forget about being fat in Hollywood, which is just now becoming even possible, right?
With exactly.
Melissa McCarthy. And that great show, This Is Us. I'm sorry, I don't know the actress's name.
I don't know her name either, but she's amazing.
She's phenomenal.
Yes.
And that young woman that she won an award or was up for an award, Gabourey.
Oh, right. From the movie. I don't remember.
You know, so I could, but I can think of three examples of fat women. Well, that's kind of rude to call them fat,
you can't call them, no.
That
now,
was really
now they're
rude.
Going to come after us. Great, you know.
Overweight women. And Melissa McCarthy's lost a bunch of weight,
I think. She has. And she said, and because she lost the weight, she's an example of being shamed for losing the weight. People are were criticizing her.
Right.
Like, why aren't you just owning that you're a big woman? She's like, I am a big woman. I want to be a healthy woman. So I'm losing some weight. What's wrong with that?
Yeah, and that gets into the second part of the article.
I will go back because as you're talking about being shamed as a child by the boys, you're in grammar school. Boys can be mean. Girls can be mean too. Don't get me wrong. Back then in school, in grammar school, not so much in high school, but in grammar school, I was picked on for being fat, or the boys would make fun of me for being fat. My brother actually, one of the neighborhood kids, like, was giving me a hard time. My brother got in a huge fight, like, just because, you know, he's my big brother. He can be a pain in my butt sometimes, but he's still my big brother. And he got in a big fight over some other boys giving me a hard time. So as a kid, yes, I was.
And I could see that.
Yes.
For sure. I mean, I think it's great that you've surrounded yourself with people overall that haven't given you that hard time from, I don't know, high school-ish on.
Yeah, exactly.
And who knows if you would not have gone to an all-girls school for high school, if that would have been a bigger issue.
Right.
But here's the rub on that. These women do something about their weight.
Right.
They decide for whatever reason that they want to lose weight and be more fit, healthier. And then those same friends and family and men criticize them for getting fit.
Right. Oh, you don't want to get too, one of the quotes, like, you don't want to get too muscly, right?
It's
like,
muscles are for men.
Right.
I've seen that on social media a lot. When a healthy, you know, woman in particular will post her workout or just after a workout and she's muscle bound.
Right.
And they'll criticize her for being too muscled. And that's weird to me. And it got me thinking about social media in general. And this is a topic that we were going to delve really deep into. Just social media was kind of the topic, which was interesting because one of the podcasts I listened to, I've mentioned on the show before, John and Rob over at Endurance for Everyone, they delved into social media. And I sent them a note like, hey.
You stole our idea.
No, they were first. So it would be us stealing. But I'm like, I was just making show notes and I had social media down. So I don't want you to think. But it was more like great minds. But either way, I'm wondering if social media makes this worse because
sure it does.
Because you can be anonymous and call somebody fat, ugly, disgusting, and all the other terms.
You don't even need to know that person. Like, one of your friends could have liked it or commented, and then you can just dive right in and say whatever you want, and they don't know who you are or where you are or anything like that. I mean,
or people trolling around Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. Well, Facebook's harder, but still. Instagram and Twitter especially is easy.
It scares me. I mean, honestly, it scares me with the social media with Lily coming to that age, right? Where she's going to start wanting to have an Instagram account and a Facebook, well, maybe not Facebook, or a Snapchat or something like that, right?
Snapchat, I don't understand. And that one scares me.
But I mean, she's 11 years old. She's going to be 12 next year. And that's the age, right? When they start wanting these things and, you know, middle school girls, high school girls, for whatever reason, we like to put other girls down. And that's, you know, when we're reading that article, majority of the people, they were actually women shaming other women.
Yeah, you know? I think that's what surprised me
the most.
That was the majority of, at least of the article.
But I think it's a lot of the time that's very much the case, mainly because I think men are too afraid, right? You can't say anything like that to a woman.
I don't know. I've seen men, when men are alone, they say some really
To another woman, like to her face, I don't think men would do that as much. But women's, like, we feel like we're helping you, we're empowering you. No, you're not. You know, like all this, I mean, I went to an all-girl Catholic school and where feminism was, you know, drilled into you and you got to empower yourself, power women up and all this stuff. And, you know, to hear that other, you know, to see, you know, little girls picking on other little girls because she's wearing glasses or she has braces or she's fat, you know, it's just, what are we teaching our daughters? I mean, and they get it from home, right? It's not like a little girl woke up and said, hey, I'm going to go out there and start picking on somebody. No, they see somebody else doing it. That's how they learn.
Yeah, it's learned behavior from somewhere. It could be another friend.
From TV. It could be from, right. You know, whatever. And it's just like, it scares me because Lily is such a sensitive little girl. And I don't want her to get hurt. I want to put her in a bubble. That's it. We're putting her in a bubble.
she's toughening up a little bit.
She is tough, but I want to put her in a bubble and we're going to put Michaela in the bubble too. And they can just be with together and everything
bubble
will be
girls?
Fine. Yes. And they'll be fine.
Yeah. Convent.
My father always said he was going to put me in a convent till I'm 40. I get it now. I get it now, Dad. He actually left me there once when we were in Germany. They all left me at a convent, walked away.
Not forever.
Well, no, but it was enough to kind of make me think like, holy Moses, they were right.
They probably thought it was funny.
They did. I did not. I was traumatized. But
I can tell.
Hold on, I need a moment. But yes.
The point about men, I think men do it more, at least as teenagers into adults, they do that more to a woman's face if, let's say that they hit on a woman and that woman rejects them.
Right.
I've heard many times, well, you were fat anyway, or you were, you know, I was, you know, hitting on you because my friend wanted to talk to your friend.
Petty. I was being, a pity hit.
Pity hit.
Pity hit.
Either way, men to other men though, they just kind of rip on each other a little bit. Like,
yeah.
And I don't think it's really ever super derogatory. Although I've had a couple of guys over the years be like, hey, you need to get your stuff under control.
Yeah.
And they weren't wrong. And I just let it roll off my back for the most part. But for women, I think it's just a different, society's different. There's a different dynamic.
Yeah.
So that's why I was really floored by it. In the fit shaming, this is where it got strange. So you gave the one example, the muscled, right?
Right.
Or, well, they'll say, you know, in the article they said there was women that would say to them, you know, are you sure you should be eating that? Do you know how many calories are in that? Or you're getting too skinny. You know, hey, we get it.
Enough is enough. Yeah.
I'm not sure what that threshold is though. Do you have any idea on what that threshold might be?
No. I mean, honestly, if you do see a friend that's kind of, you know, like maybe getting too skinny, right? Like, you know, you can see that and be like, okay, you can have a conversation like, listen, you know, I think what you did is great. You got yourself under, you know, you lost this weight. You're obviously very healthy now. Are you sure? You know, you can have that conversation, but there's a, are you sure you still want to continue losing weight? Or are you just gaining muscle now? Are you just trying to, like, what are you trying to do? What is your goal weight? Kind of put it on them. Like, what is your goal weight? What do you want to do? Where do you want to see yourself? And kind of broach, if you're truly concerned about their health, then yes, you should say something. If they're, because sometimes when you're an overweight woman and you try to lose weight, a lot of people go the drastic route. They can go through, you know, eating disorders and stuff like that, and it gets too far. And, you know, as a friend, you can be concerned for them, and you should be concerned.
And that goes either way, though. If you've seen them gaining, if you see them losing, and but it's the way that you approach
it. It's all about approach.
And if they're losing, you could ask them questions like, hey, you look outstanding. You're doing a great job. Can you help me understand what got you here? Like, what are your methods?
What's your methods?
And that's the whole thing that I found strange in the article, is that if they're friends or coworkers, because that was another example, mm-hmm. aren't you seeing these people while you go through the process? I mean, you're not all going to a fat farm and losing 150 pounds, Biggest Loser style, right?
Right.
And then coming back and just being skinny all of a sudden. That to me was really, really, really strange. I don't understand how people weren't at least talking about it a little bit. We don't talk about it a lot. Well, on here, we're starting to, right?
Right.
Different story. We decided to share ours with the world.
Dozens
of people around the world.
Like, if you see somebody every day and the weight's like gradually coming off until they hit that point where it's like they feel comfortable that they're going to wear like a smaller suit or something that's a little more form-fitting. As a woman, there's many ways that you can hide the fact that you're losing weight. You know, when I, you know, my own dad, you know, when I was having the issues with the gallbladder and lost weight, you know, I haven't seen him for a little while, but I would see him every once in a while. I would be wearing bigger shirts, bigger jeans because I hadn't bought any new clothes. Then all of a sudden I bought a new pair of jeans that actually fit. And he's like, whoa, what happened? You know, where did Gretchen go? That was the comment. Where did Gretchen go? And it's like, oh, still here. I'm still very much overweight, just a little less of me. I mean, so I think, you know, as women, we have ways of hiding it. So for a coworker, you know, you see them 5 days a week, you might notice it. But until that person takes that step to wear smaller clothing, I could see it not noticing it until the very end.
I was wondering, like, what do we do about all this, right? And you and I didn't talk about this coming in, and I didn't know if you had ever been... I mean, we do talk.
Right.
People are going to start to think we don't talk outside of the podcast, which is not true.
I always find that people think like the comments like, you guys get along so well. Well, I hope to God we do. We're married.
Not all marriages do well. I mean, it happens.
I know. It's just funny.
But we do get along really well.
Yeah.
Thanks for noticing, everybody.
Yes.
I started to think about what do we do? And I was secretly hoping that you had a story about how you were fat shamed by a friend and then this is what you did, but that didn't happen. So I really should be more happy that it didn't happen to you.
Yeah.
But it threw off my plan.
I'm sorry. I can make something up. I mean,
no, we shouldn't do that. I guess so we talked about one of the solutions which is to drop those friends. But what about when it's family? Do you drop family? I mean, do you not talk to them? Do you isolate yourself?
I would honestly, if it was my family if they had done something like that to me, I don't think I would not isolate myself. And it's not like I wouldn't I would avoid them. I would avoid them. You know, I wouldn't, it was my grandfather, right? Obviously it's a different age, you know, it's a different group of people, you know, he's old, could be a little senile, who knows, right? But I just wouldn't put myself in a position to be around. I wouldn't actively put myself in a position around those family members. Like, I would be cordial to them. I would show up for family functions when needed, but I just wouldn't. I wouldn't give it the time of day, because, you know, it's not like. I mean, listen. I mean, my family's not perfect. We give each other a hard time, right? I think for both of us, our families are very sarcastic, and so I'm sure at some point in time, someone said something sarcastic about my weight. And when it's family, you kind of let it go. But I also would just remove myself from the situation as much as I could.
Yeah, I think that's tough for family, but I get where you're coming from for sure. I I mean, I've already made adjustments in kind of how I look at life and who I'm trying to be involved with day to day.
Right.
And that's not a knock on anybody who's ever been in my life. Everybody's doing great. It's things evolve.
Right.
And maybe family can be a part of that too. I'm not exactly sure. I think it's a little tougher.
Right.
Where I think it gets easier is a decision to turn off social media. I think that social media is a big problem in this. And I do definitely want to do a deep dive into social media at some point mm-hmm. with what we're doing. But I think social media could be turned off. I recently was talking to our friend Dean, and he told me, hey, I turned off Facebook. I pitched it. And I was like, oh, well, you don't know about my podcast.
How are you going to find out about
right?
it?
Well, and I'm glad that he texted me though, because right. it was actually a question about hockey. So he was watching hockey and had a question about what a face-off penalty was. So we were talking back and forth, and then he let me know that he had knee surgery. So this is where my dependence on social media got pretty high, because right. Tina and I are good friends, but we don't talk as often as we can or right. used to. We're busy, things happen, right? But yep. it's one of those guys that no matter where we are, we could pick up where we left off. And yeah. I didn't know he had knee surgery. Because he's not on Facebook.
Right.
So I had no idea.
You know, like I really haven't seen Dean on Facebook for a while. You're right. I mean,
yeah.
Because he was like one of those that would post every morning, good morning world, and some weird meme or funny meme or something like that.
I always look forward to Dean's posts.
Yeah.
And he's also a musician. So for him to not be on Facebook is kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
In terms of promoting gigs or what have you
for sure.
what he does on the side besides what his day job is. Right. And I was envious of him turning off social media. I mean, I would love to do that.
You did it. I seem to remember you doing it for a little while. Like you went.
Was it Lent maybe? Did I do it
for
Lent?
No, 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 no. You didn't do it for Lent. But I remember you turned it off for like a few days where you took it off and you didn't defriend anyone. You didn't do anything. You just took the app off your phone essentially.
Yeah. And I've thought about it again recently. But with the podcast,
we can't do that anymore.
It's almost impossible,
no.
right? Because we want to let people know what's going on.
We want more dozens.
If we could get to 20s of people.
20s of people.
Is that a term?
I don't think that's a term.
No? More dozens?
More dozens. We want more dozens.
I would. And I said it in my blog post that I did today. The reason isn't about like making money off of a podcast.
Because we're not.
We spent a lot of money.
Exactly.
And we'll continue to. And maybe at some point we'll try to do something about that. But it doesn't really matter. The point being that 2/3 of America is overweight.
Right.
If we can help just another person, that would be pretty awesome. Because mm-hmm. I think this is helping me. And I can't speak for you if it's helping you or not. But
yeah.
to me, it holds us accountable. And we get to kind of talk through some things.
Right.
And it really does help. The social media for me has gotten better since I got into Sub 30 Club and Endurance for Everyone's group and Heartland Running and the Flatlanders group, which are ultra marathoners, which I am not yet.
Right.
But maybe someday aspire to be. And the guy who started that has a podcast called 10 Junk Miles. Mm. He is not PG. So expect a lot of F-bombs over there, but it's one of the best podcasts I've ever listened to on running, just because of the format that Scott and the gang take. Point being though, because I have all those groups and other things on like the eating lifestyle we're trying to do, my posts aren't filled with a bunch of politics and inane complaints. There's some complaining in the running community. Believe me, I did some today. But it's more positive. It's more uplifting. It's more about running. It's more about what's going on in the world. I see a lot more kids and puppies and kittens and running.
Yeah, see, I never.
And that I'm okay with.
Yeah, you went through a phase where it was like everyone on your feed was something political. Both sides, all sides, up, down, right, left, whatever. And for me, luckily for me, like either my friends aren't as socially conscious about the world or, you know, they just kind of like, I do get that. You know, I do have several, I mean, I have family members, I have several that, you know, they do post a lot of political stuff. But for me, I just like, I look the first couple lines, I'm like, eh, whatever.
Yeah, but you're better at just letting things go than I am.
Yeah.
R.E., my reaction to Big Brother.
Exactly. So, I just remember just like staring at you like,
are you
open
serious?
Mouth, like, seriously, this is the reaction you're having to this. I'm like, wow.
I know. It's okay.
But yeah, so I just let things go. I do. I'm very good about letting things go and stuff. And maybe that's why, maybe there is some fat shaming story inside of me that I just let it go. So I can't remember it anymore.
Are you going to sing Let It Go now? Like our 2-year-old?
Like our 2-year-old? Okay, let's do that. She's a few years behind on the movies, but
well, yes. She's only 2.
I know, but you know, there's newer movies that she could be into, but no, she likes Snowman.
She does. She does like that.
She likes, that's all she watched for 10 days while we were in Alaska.
And now she sings at the top of her lungs, Let It Go.
Yep. So yeah, no, I definitely, for social media, but I do believe like, I mean, what do we do? I mean, drop friends. I mean, you can't, I honestly, I think a part of it's like, it's almost like you have to just let it go. You know,
suck it up
and, you know, just either get yourself away from those people or if you are around those people, just tune them out. I'm very good at tuning people out too.
You are. I know.
I've gotten in trouble.
You've tuned out half this podcast.
Wait, what? What are we doing? I've gotten in trouble where when I used to go into work, because yes, I used to go into the office every day, like a good little girl, and people would be coming up to me and they'd have a conversation with me. They'd be staring at me, talking to me about something very important, some of the time. And I would be staring at them, not listening to a word they said. And then I have to stop and be like, I'm sorry, I wasn't paying attention. Can you restart? And they just look at me like, are you serious? I'm like, yes, I'm so sorry. I was not paying attention. So I just let it go.
I think that two of the solutions, social media aside, right? The solution of dropping friends or family, if you want to go that far, and sucking it up are difficult for people when they're overweight.
Yeah.
Because they already have a confidence problem, like you said.
Right.
A lot of times. Not everybody.
Not everyone. People own it.
Sometimes they're arrogant and own it and go for it.
More power to you.
So they may need therapy. I mean, I know I've needed therapy. I still do. Big brother again.
We're taking up a collection. Send Pete to therapy.
That I mean, I have gone through therapy on some of for some things, and I used
so have
to. I haven't dealt with some things very well in my life, and there's about 10 years that are pretty hazy. But therapy might be necessary. I think one of the women in the article even said that they had gone to therapy to try to figure out, and it wasn't while she was fat. It was when she got fit.
Right.
Which is just mind-blowing to me.
Right.
Not that somebody that's fit needs therapy.
No.
That's not, but that's when it triggered.
Right.
Is the shaming got so bad once they got fit that they needed to go to therapy and they were able to deal with it before that.
Yeah.
So it's just terrible. And the subject overall, I can't imagine reading this article and it's men versus women. I just don't think it would happen. I think if men get ripped, buff, thinner, I don't think that any friend, family member or anybody else is going to rip them for it.
The only reason like someone would ever even comment to a man if they got too skinny, if they were, you know, if they got to the sickly point where they were just skin and bones.
Yeah. And that could be a different thing.
But
that's the extreme. This is happening just when people become average size or just a little bit below average size maybe, or where their goal weight is or whatever, you know, whatever it is they've gotten to.
Yeah.
So to hear this, it's kind of crazy. And maybe there's other stories out there. We may hear stories as we get to start interviewing people pretty soon, because I bought some new accessory fun things to have people in studio.
Yeah.
And I'm going to figure out how to do it over online too, eventually. That way it'll break us up a little bit from people.
So people won't have to listening to us anymore?
Right. Well, at least me.
Yeah.
But that said, anything else to add on this?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't have a good way to wrap this one up at all. Like, it's terrible.
Just be nice to people.
knock it off.
Yes.
If you're shaming people,
cut it out.
Knock it off.
Knock it off. It's not cool.
And don't go trolling people on on social media. It's just dumb.
Punch them.
Now I can put this paper in the recycling bin too, I feel.
Yay.
Yeah. All right. Thank you. This has been episode 4 of the Fat Man Chronicles. Thank you for listening. The music, as always, is You Got Me Wrong by Safar. You can find us on social media. Speaking of which.
Yep. Rely on it.
That great plug I gave right before this.
Love you, Facebook.
Facebook.com/Fatman Stories, or you can search Fat Man Chronicles. Fat Man is one word. On Instagram and Twitter is also at Fat Man Stories. You can email us, fatmanchronicles@outlook.com. You can just go ahead to the website, which is fatmanchronicles.com. And there you can subscribe to get new blog posts. And there's a podcast link there. And as always, if you are an Apple Podcasts, please subscribe and drop us a review. 1 star, 5 stars, we don't care. We would love some more feedback.
Yeah.
If you're part of Podbean, we're also on there. Feel free to follow us there also. And one of these days, I'm told I have to get us on other formats like Stitcher and all these. But it's so early on, I don't know what I'm doing. I got to figure all that out yet.
Probably a video about that.
I'm sure there is. And it's probably not all that hard. I just need to suck it up and do it.
Exactly.
But, you know, job, family, actually recording this.
Minor thing.
So many excuses.
So many excuses.
All right, that's it. This has been episode 4 of the Fat Man Chronicles. Thanks for listening. I was not hiding.